Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
In fiscal year 1986 to 87, local, state, and federal governments spent a combined total of $16.6 billion on law enforcement. Federal law enforcement expenditures ranked last in absolute dollars and accounted for only 6% of all federal spending. By way of comparison, the federal government spent $24 million more on space exploration and 43 times more on national defense and international relations than on law enforcement.
No one will be able to take that away from you. It hasn't happened yet. It won't happen in the future.
But it is happening. The president's health care law raises the standards for insurance policies, which many consider to be a good thing. But hundreds of thousands of Americans whose policies don't meet the new standards are being told that their health plans are being canceled.
if you like your republic, you can keep it, period. Unless you allow corporatist status to erase the limits on the Constitution while you waste your time on frivolities, and they'll erect an empire while you're not watching. The naked emperor seems to know nothing about anything, and his lackeys are displaying a total disdain for congressional inquiries into their apparent failures. Makes you wonder if the emperor, the naked emperor, knows nothing about the NSA spying on the Americans, the IRS targeting people for their conservatism, the failure to protect our foreign service people like Benghazi, illegal drug gun running to Mexico like Fast and Furious, and the failure to launch of not only the website, but apparently this entire piece of so-called healthcare legislation, then clearly he's not fit to be the chief executive. But he is a pretty useful banker's meat puppet. So you have to wonder, if this is a republic and not an empire, then how did this debacle of a healthcare plan get this far? And how is it that the first attorney general to sue the administration over this disaster, running for governor in the Commonwealth of Virginia, is being attacked 20-1, outspent 20-1 by Democrats on a national scale in the state election? Clearly, somebody has erected an empire while you were asleep in place of this republic, and the time to get it back is quickly waning. This would-be empire is falling apart economically and militarily, and it is up to the conservatives and the libertarians to bring it back to the republic. It should be so simple, because the Democrats have clearly overextended themselves with this current meat puppet that they've got in this insipid Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and all the other Democrats that have foisted this Obamacare mess on us. Yet it is the Republicans who are intending to lose. And that's what we're going to talk about. The very simple fact that people like McCain, McConnell, Boehner, and King are the ones that are allowing this to happen. The Democrats are just doing what they set out to do, a total takeover of the economy, of healthcare, of insurance. The Republicans keep telling you that they're fighting for these things, they're fighting for the free market, and they're fighting for lower taxes and smaller government, yet they do the same thing as the Democrats. If you want constitutionally limited government restored, if you truly believe in liberty and sovereignty, then you must purge the surrendering, lying, cheating, squishy red rhinos from the grand old party. We need more conservative and libertarian grassroots working together. We need a force multiplier. And we need to realize that on the national stage, the only shot you've got is in the Republican Party, because no third party is going to make it as long as the duopoly exists. So you have a choice. Work hard now, together, to further liberty and fight over the quibbling stuff later, or watch Obamacare crush your economy, wipe out your relationship with your doctor, manage your entire behavior by government diktat, and this empire will be complete, and it will fall apart like every other empire. It's really up to you. We did a show on this yesterday. We're doing another one today because Blog Talk Radio cut us off. So if you really want to stop this fundamental transformation of our republic into an empire abroad and a police state at home, you've got to purge the GOP of the rhinos. You are live with Rex and Trog, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from the Imperial City.
And this is Trog, complete with club, broadcasting from the West Coast, and basically from a state that used to be a free independent state, and which is now more like California, and getting worse. So here we are. You know, I did some quick catch up today or tonight, getting ready for this, and you know, I mean, my God, there's so much to talk about. You know, I just sent you an article that Newt had written, talking about the marriage penalty. You know, using economics to continue to tear down, you know, the marriage dynamics in this country, you know, the family unit. And, you know, there was like a third difference for the same income, unmarried versus married, cheaper if you were unmarried. And so, you know, we're just, I think what's going to happen is you're going to see just situation after situation after situation, you know, story after story, crisis, fear, my policy went up, I got kicked off. And here's the, I don't want to say scary part, you know, because it doesn't scare me, but here's the scary part. It's going to get worse. People are acting like, you know, this shock and awe, which is being perpetuated by the media, like nobody knew. Now Obama's new quote is, that's not what I said. What I said was if, you know, and this thing about keeping your plan. And there isn't a human being in this country that followed the primary or the election that didn't hear what he said. He said, you can keep your plan, you can keep your doctor. Well, we're finding out to the tunes of hundreds of thousands, if not millions already, receiving cancellation notices, and we're talking about millions and millions and millions of more people. And this is perfect for them, because if you get kicked off, plus businesses kick you off and, you know, reduce benefits, then where are you going to go? You're going to go to the exchange. And by the fear, you know, your health, that's the thing of it is. It isn't like you going, well, I don't need that third car. I mean, this is primary stuff here. This is the core of your life, your health. And people are going to do what they have to do. And some of it, I've seen numbers from 50% increase to double to 2.5 times more, premiums going up, plus deductibles are higher, co-pays are higher. I mean, this is, Rex, this is devastating to the middle class and the poor. Devastating. It isn't to me either, but definitely it's, I wouldn't say it's no surprise, because it's definitely some of the information is like, wow, I didn't know that. You know, yeah, I mean, there's definitely things that have caught me off guard, but we knew that it was going to be bad. But, you know, now that the details are coming out, it's pretty intense. And on top of the economy that we have, I mean, it's one thing, you know, we went through the, you know, the 80s and the 90s and, and 9/11 obviously was a bad time, but you know, we kind of slipped through the dot-bomb crash. You know, there was a lot of other prosperity in this country, and most of the states and the federal government expanded extensively through that time, and money was cheap. And you know, we can get into that whole conversation later, but there was so much growth, and everybody was busy chasing the American dream, and their houses were going up 10, 15, 20% a year, and lots of jobs, and, you know, the technology boom, and wow, it was good in America. And at the same time this was going on, manufacturers were leaving our shores by the tens of thousands. And we didn't notice our trade deficit was going, you know, we run a trade deficit. What is it, like $50 million a month or billion a month or some kind of insane number that this country has never had before, because we've always been a import-export both country. And we became a consumer nation who created wealth on a false dichotomy of cheap money. And now this guy has run a trillion-plus over every year, borrowing and printing, still printing money. And then he dumps this Obamacare thing on us. And what's amazing to me, I think more than anything, is the reaction or lack of it. Because I would think that the America I used to know would be up in arms almost over this. I mean, they would be organized. They would be – and it just seems like there's so many people that are just – they don't know what to do. It's almost like they can't focus, you know. Your country's going down the drain. It will never, potentially never recover. Or if it does recover, it's going to be a very painful process to get through. And there just seems to be a lot of people talking about frivolous crap that doesn't mean anything. This is one of the biggest takeovers of private industry in our country. ever, outside of major wars like the Second World War. Go ahead.
It's one of the biggest takeovers of anything ever. Here's a crazy thing.
And it's devastating. That if it was an equal, or a 10%, it'd be one thing. You know.
Well, you know, you're saying that, you know, there are some surprises. Well, I mean, of course there's going to be surprises. You got a 2,700-page bill that no one read that was jammed through against
20,000 pages.
Yeah, consensus by one party only, even though technically the Republicans are of the same ilk, but one party only. And then basically the 2,700 pages gave the Secretary of HHS and the IRS the ability to write regs to their heart's content, and now that's mushroomed. And unless you've read the Federal Register and read the regulations, you don't know what's going on. And most people don't even pay attention to this stuff.
You can't keep up with
it because
they're writing as we speak. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, exactly. And the corporate media is not reporting this stuff accurately. So, the stuff comes out when it hits. Now, here's the thing. One of the problems with accepting that information is we've been conditioned over decades into one-stage thinking. So until you get the cancellation notice, you don't think you're going to get canceled, or if you're told, you dismiss it because it's just too much to deal with, and then you get your cancellation notice and you freak out. And, of course, you know, it's not that many people. It's just 5%, right? 5% of Americans have lost it. Well, their report from 2010 says that somewhere between 47 and 67% will lose it. Nevertheless, mm-hmm. just if it's 5%, first of all, what right do they have to take away insurance from 5% of the populace in order to put through the things everybody agrees that we like, you know, the pre-existing conditions and the portability and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, just because some of the things in this disaster are good, the little, you know, carrots, doesn't mean that
the
stick isn't going to whack you in the back of the head. the stick's still going to whack you in the back of the head. That's the problem. So how about, you know, making a law that, you know, puts these things that there's wide consensus on that don't really affect the free market and actually help people? One could argue that that doesn't need to be done on a national level. It could be done state by state. But either way, why jam it into this massive monstrosity? Well, there's only one reason. It's to bring down the republic. That's it. Don't think it's about insurance reform. Don't think it's about health care. That's what this is about. And that's, you know, we did this show yesterday. Blog Talk Radio cut us off right when we went into overtime, so we're wrapping this up. I don't want to spend the whole time on Obamacare, but the fact is that this devastating damage, and everybody's focusing on the damn website, which is really not the problem. I mean, it's a problem, but it's not the real problem. The bill itself is the problem, or I guess law now. And this is with only like 20% of it kicking in. And it really doesn't kick in earnest until January. This is just the preliminary part. Most of it got delayed or exempted. Now, those exemptions are exemptions to the law. They can be taken away at any time. So as soon as you fall out of political favor with the ruling class, your exemption is gone. So if you got an exemption from Obama because you're a lefty, and you were one of his pals or one of his constituencies, what happens when the next guy gets in power and says, nah, we're not going to exempt you anymore. We're putting you into it. You see? And then, of course, when we're talking about people losing their coverage and people are up in arms about it as well they should be, you're talking about the individual market. You haven't even touched on where most people get their medical insurance, and that's through their employer. That mandate was delayed until after the election. When that kicks in, somewhere between 50 and 150 million people will lose their coverage and be forced into these exchanges. That's going to happen. Of course, that's not going to happen until after the election. So if they can manage to keep the lies going and keep people out of the loop and people aren't getting the cancellation letters and they keep telling you people are getting their cancellation letters are merely a minority and it's anecdotal, it's going to be something unbelievable at this time next year after the election. Of course, then it'll be too late. So the thing is, Chris, that this is such a mess that it should be beyond easy to destroy the Democrat Party in the next election because they've just screwed up. Not only is the law not doing what they said it would do, but the big salesman of the insurance program himself, has been caught in a lie. You can say he misspoke or he was misinformed, but the fact is, he clearly lied, and the memos prove it. There are memos that basically say some people in the meeting in the White House were saying, you know, I don't know if we, you know, we should mislead people this way. That might not work out. And he said, no, let's just let it happen. So it should be so easy to win, just as it was to defeat Obama last year. But the Republicans don't want to win, which is why last year they ran Mitt Romney despite the opposition from all the voters. And they're going to do the same thing this year. If you allow people like McCain and Rove and Lindsey Graham and Chris Christie to run this party, unless conservatives and libertarian grassroots unite and push the conservative/libertarian agenda based on the Constitution, the Republicans intend to lose. I mean, they want to keep their seats, but they don't want to win the argument. They don't want to win the case. They don't want to roll this disaster back. And you can see it playing out here in the Commonwealth of Virginia right now. Tomorrow's election day. And, you know, a lot of people around the country may not be focusing on it because it's just pretty much Jersey, Colorado, Virginia, you know, not national races, so, you know, you don't pay attention. They're not exciting like presidential races. But the very simple fact is this is a proxy race for what's going on nationally because the Democrat in the race was allegedly ahead. Okay, I don't really trust these polls, but he was allegedly ahead during the, quote, shutdown because people were turned on the Republicans, which, you know, that's debatable, but nevertheless. Then as soon as this thing went towards Obamacare, and he's a big Obamacare proponent, and Ken Cuccinelli, the Attorney General of the Commonwealth, who's running for governor, was the first to sue get Virginia out of Obamacare as far as it being unconstitutional, started getting there. Now, one could argue that Ken would actually be in the lead if not for the Libertarian candidate pulling votes away from him, although I don't know how many votes the Libertarian candidate is pulling from the conservative side of the spectrum because the guy seems to be liberal, so I suspect he's attracting disaffected Democrats. But it's very interesting to note because this race is likely to be decided by the grassroots, and here's why. And it's actually a bad thing. Not that the grassroots are deciding, but it's a bad thing why it's possible for that to happen. It's like a 30% turnout for the governor's election, delegates, sheriffs, things like that, 30% compared to what happens in presidential years, which shows you that the American people, Chris, have been – that's the way it is in all races. Basically, you get the big turnout is every 4 years when there's a presidential election. The next biggest turnout is the midterms. And the lowest turnout is when there is no midterm and there is no presidential election. But you have to remember something. We have voting day in every county in the country every year. You're voting for something. Now, you might not think it's important, but the fact is if you want a federated republic, you got to vote for your local reps because that's where the power is supposed to be. If you're not paying attention there, then it becomes a national game and an empire is easy to build. The fact is that you should know who your sheriff is, what he stands for. Doesn't even know what the job of sheriff is. Most of them don't. They just think that, you know, it's a political appointment. But the very fact is that that's a very, very important job because the sheriff is the only person in power to arrest corrupt politicians. Secondly, you know, your governor should be more important to you than your president, except in times of invasion. But most people don't pay attention. So with lower turnout, it becomes who can get their people out. And the fact is that if you're fired up about Obamacare, if you're pissed off about Obamacare, and you live in Virginia, then turn out tomorrow and vote for Ken Cuccinelli, not Terry McAuliffe, who's basically a Democrat machine jerk-off. If you're outside of the Commonwealth and you're like, well, I don't really care, but you need to care because this is going to be spun as the narrative. If Cuccinelli loses tomorrow, then they're going to say, see, people aren't that upset about Obamacare. If Ken Cuccinelli wins, they'll say, oh, look at that. Obamacare cost the Democrats the election in Virginia. That's how it's going to be spun. It's a very important turning point. Even if it isn't really that way, it's going to be spun that way, and you know how perception is reality. So it's fascinating to me, Chris, how people are so easily swayed by stories. But the grassroots mission, Mr. and Mrs. Grassroots, you're listening to this show, your mission is to get these people involved and get them aware of the fact that most of the stuff they read on the news or the pamphlets they get in the mail is pure crap. I'll let you comment on that, Chris, but Blog Talk Radio cut us off last night while we were in the middle of a Kudlow report with Peter Schiff talking about debt monetization, and obviously we'll have to play that again, and then because we never got to comment on it because we went off air.
No.
So we'll get to that, because ultimately economy is what this is about. This is about destroying the economy, not only your health care, but the economy, and it's about managing your behavior so that they can perpetuate the police state at home and the empire abroad without you being able to do anything about it.
Yeah. Well, my only input on Ken, and I've had an opportunity to listen to him and his running partner and kind of get caught up. You know, you're on the other side of the world for me, so I've had to kind of force myself into that. It's not natural for me to pay attention to Virginia politics, but one of the things that really stood out on this situation reminds me of what happened with Bachmann. You know, they did nothing for her. She barely won her seat back. They didn't donate money. They didn't bring any big guns in. And she fought hard and barely got her seat again because they hate her, because she's the Tea Party caucus leader and very conservative and, you know, was running for speaker and all that kind of wonderful stuff. Well, Ken Cuccinelli, you know, he's a strong conservative, a religious guy, you know, and that type of thing, and a fighter, and he believes in the country and he believes in the Constitution. So and like you said, he's one of the first guys to get up and fight Obamacare in from a legal standpoint. And again, like Bachmann, they've done nothing for him. He was being, like what you said, he was being outspent 20-1. And the Democrats have had, Obama's been in there, and Biden's been in there, and Bill and Hillary have been in there, labor, you know, unions, you know, steal money from their members so they can fly around and fight causes and bus people in. They've been in there, so they've got a massive machine on this race, and the GOP, RNC have pretty much done nothing. In fact, Levin, and I'm sorry I didn't get... you know, it was just, it was happening too fast for the show, you know, too early for Levin to end up in a clip that we could upload. But Levin spent a good hour on this tonight, and he really went into depth, because obviously, I think he lives there too, doesn't he, Mark Levin?
Yeah, he's here.
Yeah, and he was really tearing into the GOP. He actually said that there is actually Republican state House, you know, whatever you call it in your state, Republicans, yeah, in the state, who endorsed the Democrat over Cuccinelli, and the thing that, I mean, it is, I wouldn't say it's mind-boggling, but if this doesn't tell you how much the power elite, the progressives and the GOP, hate conservatives, hate Tea Party, hate constitutionalists, hate limited government people, hate people who are trying to fight for our freedoms. If this doesn't tell you what's going to come up in 2014, then you got your head in the sand, and you need to wake up, because there's some people who have taken over the GOP and the RNC that they might as well be Democrats, and in fact they're acting like Democrats. There's a new book coming out. I don't know if you've heard about it. A new book coming out written by a couple guys who really get in depth on the 2012 primary, and that's going to be an interesting read, because it takes you behind the scenes and shows you all the stuff that was going on behind the scenes, because some of the worst attacks in the primary were not Obama against the Republicans. It was Republicans. It was the elites, the Romneys, the whatevers, you know, destroying the rest of them, you know, to knock them out of the field.
Yep.
So Romney had a guaranteed win. And Romney is as big of a Democrat. You look at his record, it's just mind-boggling how they hid that. But you look at his record, and he is pure Democrat, as far as
I'm concerned. It wasn't that well hidden, Chris. It's just that most voters are low-informed, and they don't really pay attention. They just, you know, either check their team, whichever way they lean, or they listen to the corporate media.
Mr. Electable.
Yeah, you know, he's the most electable. Well, even though I don't like him, you know, he's the only shot we have to replace Obama. Well, what would have been the point if we replaced Obama with Romney? What's the point if the Republican Party wins in 2014 with rhinos? What have you gained? If you're a true constitutionalist, if you are a free market person, if you believe in not only lower taxes, because let's be honest, they always tell you lower taxes. Well, that's a bunch of horseshit. They don't lower the taxes. And if they do it, they piddle around the edges. How about no income tax because it is a direct violation of my liberty? How about just we have general taxes? And how about the money flow from the states to the federal government, not from us to the federal government and then back to the states with strings? These are the kind of, if these are the kind of things that are important to you, then a Republican victory with rhinos means nothing. You need a Republican victory with conservatives, and you'd better start vetting people. Look, Chris and I can only do so much research. We can only do so much show, and that's true for everybody in alternative media, like even Ben Swan, who has significantly more resources. We don't have any resources. That's why we got cut off last night. People like Josh Tolley and Jeff Green over at Alternative Media Television. But we can't know everything. It is up to you locally to figure out and vet the people. And don't fall for the game that you fell for in Florida with the whole Marco Rubio thing, that he's the Tea Party guy, and so we elected him. He's not a Tea Party guy. He's not a conservative. He's a party shill just like all the others. Yeah, sure, sometimes he sounds good on the issues. And I really wish the guy was, you know, had a better backbone on what is actually conservative, because he'd be a pretty good asset, but he's a squish. And there's a lot of them like that. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to agree with everybody on everything, but there are some giants. Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, Justin Amash, Trey Gowdy. These are conservative giants, but there's not enough of them up there. And until you take over the Republican Party and defeat these rhino bastards, you're not going to be able to dislodge the Democrats. And this thing, Obamacare, will go full online by 2017. They'll borrow more money into oblivion. There'll be more wars. Don't forget, you know, we're still going to blow up Syria and Iran. That's their intention. And this republic will disappear, become an empire, and like all other empires, it will fall. And then, you know, we won't be the global power, and what you'll have is someone else will fill the gap, whether it be China or Russia or who knows. But the idea is that the problem is the Republicans. The problem is not the Democrats. They are so easy to beat because of what's going on that it should be a cakewalk to defeat them. But a Republican victory means nothing unless the candidates are real conservatives and not these squishy rhino losers. And that's what this thing is about. The reason that Ken Cuccinelli is being disdained and shunned by the Republicans is because he was never their choice. Okay, think of it on a national scale so the rest of you can understand this. It would be the same thing as had Newt Gingrich or Ron Paul got the nomination. That's because that would have been the choice of the grassroots. And instead, they forced Mitt Romney. Well, here they were trying to force a guy called Bill Bowling. But we got a convention instead of a primary, and the grassroots turned out and elected a very conservative ticket. Now, there's also a Libertarian candidate who's pulling allegedly around 10%. His name is Sarvis. He's Libertarian in the sense that he's running in the Big L Libertarian Party. I don't know how Libertarian he is. There's definitely some question about that. The meme that's being played, of course, is that, you know, well, the third party split the vote, and so it only takes away votes from, you know, the Republican, and it's a bad idea. Well, in this case, it might be true. But I think that I still have a problem with the fact that Sarvis was not in the debates with Ken and with Terry. Not that I particularly like the guy. I don't know all that much about him other than the fact that I've read some stuff that indicates that he's really not all that libertarian. He's kind of more of a liberal with some libertarian leanings. And so I don't know that he's peeling off that many votes from Ken Cuccinelli. But the thing that most of you don't understand about Virginia is we're kind of two states here. There's the Commonwealth of Virginia, which is mostly rural and conservative, and then there's Northern Virginia, which is nothing more than an adjunct of Washington, D.C., and most of the people that live around here are Yankee invaders from somewhere else. They come in with various administrations. The lobbyists live here. The defense contractors live here, and the federal employees live here. So up here, it's no question, it's Democrat country because you can vote for the gravy train that keeps on giving. And if you're polling people in a disproportionate way where you're getting mostly, urban centers and Northern Virginia, you're not going to get a very good feeling about how this is going to go. So I still think that it can be pulled out. But it is very important for you to understand that this is nothing more right now than a proxy of what we are going to witness next year. You're going to see the rhinos train their targets and spend more time and energy and money aggressively fighting conservatives than they will ever fight their friends of the Democrats. That's what it comes down to, and that's the lesson that you, Mr. and Mrs. Grassroots, if you're listening to this show, and you've got to get this information out to the uninformed conservative and libertarian-leaning voters so that they understand that if they go with the establishment pick for their candidate in 2014, there might be a Republican victory because the Democrats are so friggin' incompetent, but nothing will change because it won't be a conservative or libertarian victory, and that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, you mentioned Levin. I know he was talking tonight, and I didn't get that, but I did manage to find it's about 12 minutes, but I broke it up into two segments of Mark
Good.
Levin interviewing Ken Cuccinelli, if you want to hear about
Cuccinelli. I'm game.
And, you know, again, this is not a Virginia show. This is internet radio, so it's probably even global. But the very simple fact is you have to understand how things are finagled in these local races in odd years because it's going to translate to what happens on the big scale.
Yeah,
and
this is a microcosm of exactly what's coming. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, here's the thing. Ken, Chris, no, you're absolutely right. It is a microcosm of what we're going to see, which is a really good training ground for us to figure out how our game as conservatives and libertarians and constitutionalists who have to work together, or none of us will win, in putting forward a small R Republican agenda as opposed to an imperial agenda. The attacks against Ken Cuccinelli about him not being a good choice for liberty are nothing more than attacks on him from his position as a Christian social conservative. Okay? That's what they're attacking. So, you know, the idea – and the Democrats, I mean, I can't tell you how much stuff I get in the mail. Though it doesn't talk to me anything about his tax policy. It doesn't talk to me anything about the cases that he fought as a attorney general. It doesn't talk about what he did when he was senator. All it talks about is the fact that he is attacking women because he doesn't want them to have a right to choose, and he doesn't want them to have access to contraceptives, which is a bunch of horseshit. That's not it at all. And then, of course,
right.
You know how he hates homosexuals, which is, again, absolutely not true. He is pro-traditional marriage, and that's his position. And guess what? You know, most of the country is that way, so that's a perfectly fine conservative position. You might have a disagreement with him on that. That's fine. That's what politics is about. But if you're going to put down Ken Cuccinelli over one of these issues, when you have a guy on the other side who's 100% pro-Obama, Pelosi, and Reid's agenda, then you've really made a huge mistake. It's a huge mistake because this isn't like Mitt Romney running. And you go, oh, I'm going to hold my nose because I don't want Obama to win. This guy's actually conservative. He's actually grassroots, and they're painting him a different way in order to fool younger libertarians to go for this other guy so that it'll split the vote and the Democrats will win. I mean, that's basically what they're doing. So you got to look at a candidate and look at it and say, do I agree with him on 80%? And is that 20% I don't disagree, is there a fundamental constitutional problem with it? Then you have legitimate grounds. If there isn't a fundamental constitutional problem with his positions in that 20% that you don't agree with, then you'd better vote for him over the statist. And that's what we have here. So we'll start with the first clip is kind of long, but again, Levin's kind of entertaining, and it gives you an insight into Cuccinelli. Not that we're sitting here trying to promote Ken Cuccinelli, but I just want you to understand the stuff that you've heard and the stuff you're going to hear, because this conversation is going to continue, because whoever wins is going to try to use it for their party. If Ken wins, the Republicans are going to try to appropriate him as Mr. Republican, even though he's really a conservative Republican and not anything like most of the Republicans. And if he loses, the Democrats are going to try to appropriate the law that, see, people aren't really that upset about Obamacare. So it's a very important thing. So listen to him in his own words,
mm-hmm.
and believe me, I've seen his record. I know the guy. What he's saying here is not fluff and conservative talk to fool voters so that he can run like a rhino. This guy's really grassroots conservative. Here's Mark Levin interviewing Ken Cuccinelli.
The state senate, and the second time you ran, you were counted out, and you won that race. You were counted out when you were running for attorney general, and you won that case, that race very easily. And you're fighting hard in this race. Tell everybody what you're up against here.
Well, we've got, as you said, Planned Parenthood is in for over $1 million, and people need to understand in Virginia there are no limits. So these groups can come into no limit. Michael Bloomberg has spent $2 million coming in to bash me because I'm a defender of the Second Amendment, God forbid. Oh, I said God, too. So we got the billionaire from New York City. We've got a billionaire from San Francisco, Tom Steyer, a radical environmentalist, who spent over $3 million. And all they do is trash me. You know, one thing I say to audiences, Mark, I stand in front of them and I say, Can any one of you here, and I've said it in Terry McAuliffe's presence, and he doesn't even answer it, can any one of you here name one positive plan for Virginia that Terry McAuliffe has explained to you and how he'll pay for it, in a TV ad, in a debate, anywhere? And then I just be quiet for a moment, and nobody can name one, including Terry McAuliffe, because all they've done is the politics of personal destruction, and they've spent us into the dirt and lied through their teeth. And we keep plowing ahead. We're fighting Obamacare. We're fighting for lower taxes. He wants more energy, Second Amendment. I mean, the contrast here is very stark. And you know what we found out today, Mark, is the president is coming to Virginia to campaign for Terry McAuliffe this week. And I think that's a great way to end the race. I think that if everybody focuses on the fact that President Obama and Terry McAuliffe are two peas in a pod, they, on big health care, they wanted the Obamacare monster. They both want to expand it farther under Medicaid. Compared to me, who, as you said, was the first attorney general to fight it, first attorney general to beat it, who opposes the expansion. I mean, how much failure do you need before you finally say no? It's a stark contrast. And if people want to send Washington a message in Virginia on November 5th, they can tell Washington they're fed up with the D.C. politics, they're fed up with Obamacare, by voting for me on November 5th.
And yet, Ken Cuccinelli, if you lose, then the left and others are going to try and spin that and interpret that as a as an Obama success, that people support Obamacare, and on and on and on. Isn't that correct?
Oh, absolutely. That's most certainly what they're going to do, and you know, we can't let them get away with that. Frankly, we've got people out volunteering like crazy. We're outworking them while they're outspending us, and we need help in Virginia. We need donations at Cuccinelli.com, and we're going to push this thing right through the tape at 7 o'clock next Tuesday, November 5th, just like I always have. And, I mean, one of them was so close I won in a recount, but we won them. And we do every time the people who believe in first principles come out to support us.
Cuccinelli.com, Mr. Producer. Let's get that up on my social sites, folks, from all over the country. We can use your help on this one. No question about that. I mean, McAuliffe's getting, you heard, these big left-wing organizations pouring millions into this race. I think there are millions of us. Just a small support could be very, very helpful. Isn't this McAuliffe under investigation for some incredibly sleazy investment?
Actually, several of them. He used to brag about his business prowess until everybody figured out it was all lies. And, in fact, the last company he was with is now embroiled in two federal investigations, and one of them directly involves him for pushing through getting Chinese citizens, rich Chinese citizens, a green card to invest in his company, even though there were security risks associated with that Chinese citizen. And so now this is the Mayorkas investigation that you've probably talked about on your show. McAuliffe was the guy who was jamming these Chinese citizens through, and he didn't care about America long as he made his money. And so that's one federal investigation. The other one is the Securities Exchange Commission looking at the shady dealings of this company, GreenTech, that he was the chairman of. I mean, I don't know how many investigations people need before they start to wonder. And then just 2 weeks ago, we found out that he was, and this sounds weird when you say it, it's close to Halloween, he was investing in these insurance scams that made money when terminally ill people died. It was a life insurance scam, and he had owned some of these sort of ghoulish investments when he ran for governor in 2009, and he didn't report them as the law requires. And so now there's a scrum going on about that. I mean, it is one thing after another.
Let me ask you about the last thing. So the guy invests money in this scam that basically is betting on who's going to die when.
Right.
And what's his defense? He didn't know he was investing in this?
Well, you know, it's real interesting. The minute it became public, within hours, he wrote a personal check for $47,000. And can I just say for a moment, I wish I could write a $47,000 personal check at a drop of a hat. And I mean, he's made his money off a lot of these little scams and schemes that victimize other people. And here he disgorges this money and said, oh, this was all the money I made. But the indictment that was released by a President Obama prosecutor, a federal prosecutor in Rhode Island, showed he got a $113,000 check for one guy dying. He got paid when this guy died. I mean, who invests in this? This is unbelievable. And he won't release his tax returns. He won't be open with people. He immediately lied about it. He doubled down the next day, lied again, and like you said, he said, oh, I didn't know anything. Bull honky, folks. He signed a piece of paper, like your life insurance policy, that had the terminally ill man's name and signature right there next to his. It had to. This wasn't some company he invested in. He signed a contract on this man's death. And 3 weeks later, the man died. And he let the money ride out on the stock market. He let it ride in this little
for
2 more years.
Let me ask you a couple of quick questions here because of the types of ads that are being played in Virginia, and I've told the whole nation about this. Is it even possible for an attorney general of a state or a governor of a state to prevent a woman from securing contraceptives, given the Supreme Court's rulings for the last half century?
Yeah, it isn't a new concept. This goes back to the 60s and the 70s court's rulings by the U.S. Supreme Court. So, and Terry McAuliffe is a Washington, D.C. lawyer. He isn't even a Virginia lawyer. He's a Washington, D.C. lawyer. He certainly went to class in law school once in a while at least. He knows that he's lying, and he doesn't care. I mean, one thing this guy brought from New York to Virginia is chutzpah. I mean, he lies like he's taking a drink of water. It is nothing to him. And I will tell you, I'll admit it, I haven't quite figured out how you deal with that. How do you deal with it when he'll say anything, literally anything, to fool the people of Virginia and get elected?
And not only that, you have newspaper editorial pages endorsing the guy, even though they know he's spending tens of millions of dollars lying about the law, lying about your record, lying about what you could do even if you wanted to do it.
Absolutely, and they don't seem to care, but, you know, that's a lot of the rest of the media. That might be part of why you're so successful. People actually get another perspective here, something called reality.
Reality. The reality is that this race is not merely about the Commonwealth of Virginia. This race is about what is going to happen nationally. And the Democrats certainly have chutzpah. Yeah.
No, I forgot to say Bloomberg was in there, too. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got a lot of chutzpah, and they've got a lot of money, including people like Bloomberg, who are coming down on Ken for a strong position on the Second Amendment, on gun ownership rights. They've been, you know, trying to paint him as being sleazy because he failed to report, someone gave him an in-kind campaign contribution. It was a reporting error. It was a minor amount, like, you know, less than $5,000 or something like that. In the meantime, McAuliffe got his hands dirty in a zillion things. And what they were talking about there, in case you didn't know, is McAuliffe was actually purchasing, life insurance policies in the secondary market. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It just has to be very tightly, kept an eye upon. And it's interesting that it's an insurance issue because we're talking here about, medical and health insurance on a national scale. This guy was buying policies on people who he knew who they were. Now, if you own a life insurance policy on somebody, you get paid when they die. It gives you a pretty significant financial interest in their death. Now, insurable interest laws were put in place. Okay, this is a place where the market is regulated by government in order to keep it fair so that it will remain free. You can't have a free market if you have no government regulations. The problem is when the regulations are designed to favor certain actors in the market over others, then it's no longer free. But if you just have a free-for-all, you can have disasters like what this guy McAuliffe was into. Insurable interest means, like, a wife has an interest in her husband, if he's the breadwinner, for example. I'm having a life insurance policy on his life because if he dies, the income goes away and the family becomes destitute. Now, generally speaking, the wife is going to be more interested in keeping her husband around and having him not die. But if he does die, then she's covered. But when you don't have an insurable interest in somebody, it can get kind of dicey. Now, there are ways to move life insurance policies in the secondary market where the ownership of the investment and the person whose life is pegged to the policy are unknown to each other, and that keeps it kind of copacetic. But when that isn't the case, and in Terry McAuliffe's case that wasn't the case, it can get pretty shady. So do we want this guy as governor? No. Do you want this guy as governor of Virginia? No, because a victory for him is a victory for the RINOs and the Democrats and this Obamacare debacle. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I'm still kind of reeling from what I just heard because I have not heard all of that. Like, you know, you live in that market, so you're a little more attuned to this stuff than I am. Yeah, that was pretty intense. And what's amazing is it goes back to that, the, you know, I remember several years ago, Newt did an incredible talk on, you know, reforming the whole campaign concept, the whole primary concept, and cleaning it up and how to do that. And it was actually a very good conversation that he had, you know, the brilliance that he can see. And I remember getting involved in the primary, you know, which was probably my first real stepping into national elections. And it was mind-boggling how filthy it was, because in today's world with the Internet and the social media and the alternate media, you can get to the bottom line, you know, if you hear something, you know, whether it's a debate or an ad or whatever, or somebody does a special, you know, on one of the major networks, you can dig and fill in the gaps very fast. And I did a lot of that because I was very interested in who these people were and who I was going to support and everything else. And it was kind of shocking to see how filthy it really was and to see the lies, you know, and the amount of money that was spent perpetuating lies or, you know, you don't want to call it a lie. You could say a false perception. Same difference in my book. But, you know, that whole marketing syndrome. And, you know, when you think about this guy running, you know, and they're spending 20-1 over Cuccinelli, and the guy's out there fighting, you know, and he's got a real record in government, in the state, and or whatever you call it, Commonwealth, and as Attorney General and all the things that he's done, he's got a real record of who he is and what he stands for, and yet they can spend money, that kind of money, and literally change people's perception, especially people, low-information voters who don't get out there and do the research for themselves. I mean, it is a really... you know, I don't know if it's always been this way in this country and I'm just naive, but it just seems like if somebody's opening their mouth, they're lying, you know, and if somebody, you know, you got to, but I don't know, it's pretty bad. And we've got a war on our hands coming up in 2014 because you've got two enemies. You've got the Democrats and you have the Republican elite, you know, so anybody out there
more dangerous
that wants to, because they're supposed to be on your side, but anybody who cares about your country, about freedom, you know, I don't want to say conservative because a lot of people are not sure what that means, but, you know, if you care about your freedom and low taxes and being able to live your life and fiscal responsibility and all those kind of, you know, basic fundamental things, then you really need to research and back the people who are standing for those things, because if you don't like the mess we're in now and we get the wrong people in office, times 10. That's all I got to say on that one.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely horrible. And here's the thing, and this is another really important lesson for the entire country. And, I, you know, Chris and I try to bring you relevant information. We always try to keep it from a conservative perspective, meaning conservative in the sense that we seek to conserve the principles of the Constitution, which are also libertarian perspectives. Now, there are some differences between libertarians and conservatives, but libertarians run the gamut. Conservative libertarians like Senator Rand Paul and Dr. Ron Paul, his father, tend to gravitate more towards people like Ken Cuccinelli than libertarians in the mold of, say, Gary Johnson. Okay. The important thing to understand is these labels can be misleading, and a lot of people ascribe to the label. I mean, you know, Mitt Romney said he's a severe conservative. I mean, the guy's a liberal Democrat, so give me a break. You
got to
look
something
at what that means. Yeah, he's a severe a-hole. But the important lesson to learn, and the reason we're focusing on Virginia is not only because I happen to know it better than most of you simply because I live here, and secondly because it is happening tomorrow as opposed to next November. It's important to note that Ken Cuccinelli won as a state senator, you know, to the government in Richmond, and as attorney general, and got the nomination for governor on a 100% grassroots move. He was always outspent in every race by the left and the Democrats. He was always fought against by people in his own party. And he won because he spoke clearly on principles. He mentioned in the interview there, he said, first principles, the things that we agree upon. We might quibble about certain issues of implementation, tactics, strategy, minutia, but general first principles. He went right to the people, and he got what Newt Gingrich was doing in the last presidential race, people power over money power, and that's why he's been successful. And it's an important lesson to learn, because that is the only way. That is the only way in 2014 are we able to take the Senate and keep the House, not for the Republican Party, but take the Senate and keep the House for conservatives and libertarians. To give the Republican Party a majority with people like Cruz and Paul and Lee in the Senate to shut down Reid's power, and to put people in place like Amash and Gowdy in the House to shut down Boehner's power. That's the only way you're going to do it. It is totally up to you. You, Mr. and Mrs. America, have to inform the other people. You have to be active. And it's not just about giving money. If you have it, give it, great. But that's not enough, because we will always be outspent, because we're not only facing the massive fundraising power of the Democrat machine, but we are facing massive fundraising power within the Republican Party by the likes of Karl Rove. So you're never going to outspend
And all those corporations right now, you think this country's broke because of all the bailouts? Well, that money that was spent in all those bailouts is coming out of you're paying for it, and it's going straight to the people who caused this economic crisis. I mean, it is that when you start connecting the circle of life on these things, you know, you've got to, I said this last night, you know, you've got to figure out first, one, who are you and what do you care about? You know, what do you stand for? And then you've got to go out and, you know, it's no longer, you know, I think the challenge with good, hardworking Americans is that they thought the system was working. I really believe that's one of the challenges, is that, you know, I vote for my party and, you know, I do my duty and, you know, I donate to the organizations and, you know, these people go there with good intentions and we have a platform and I pretty much agree with the party platform. Well, the challenge is 80% of them don't even follow the damn platform. So it's just, you know, a piece of paper with some words on it. And that's where you have to, I think that, you know, especially with 2010 and the whole Tea Party movement is, and people need to understand this, that Tea Party movement didn't start because of Obama. It started because of George Bush and his policies and overspending and debt limit. How many debt limit increases did we have? 5 or some kind of insane thing under a Republican, you know, and these endless wars.
It depends on what you mean by Republican.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
What
I mean it just, but the Tea Party started in that era. And you know, people go, what's the Tea Party? A bunch of teabaggers? No, taxed enough already. You know, it was this concept of quit screwing us. We're trying to live our lives. We're trying to be good citizens, raise our families, be involved in our communities like we're supposed to, you know, involved in our, you know, maybe our county and possibly our state, depending on where you live. You know, I live in the capital city, so it's a little more apparent to me what's going on in state politics. I lived in the state capital in Alaska, so I was always fairly involved in my community and my state, which is really, as a citizen, that's where I'm supposed to be. And then once every, you know, midterms and every 4 years, you know, I donate my money and I vote for my team. That really, if you're not in the play at a federal level, that's really, as a basic citizen, that's kind of what you're supposed to do, because you're working, raising your family, you know, trying to hold your crap together. And you know, and now it's come to a point where you can't be that anymore, because what happens in Washington impacts your city, your toilet you can buy, the kind of car you can drive, the light bulb you can stick in your house. I mean, your choices are gone, and it is impacted, not so much by what's going on in your state, because it's states, because they give all the money to the federal government, and then they send money back, and then they attach all these, like what you said earlier, all these rules where you need to pass this law, and you need to have this speed limit on the highway, and if we're going to give you your money back, then you have to follow this mandate, this dictate, you know, whether it's EPA or Department of Education or whatever. It's no longer a state issue. We don't live in our states anymore. We live, you know, in that hellhole that you live in. That impacts us every day in our lives. It's changed.
That's the nature of empire. The imperial city becomes the controller of everything. And the fact is, Chris, that was perfectly spot on, because, you know, a lot of people think, oh, the D-bagger started because a black man was in the White House. Well, you know, maybe there are some people who, you know, believe in Tea Party principles and think that way, but I haven't met any. It's got to be an incredibly ridiculous minority if that's the case. But the Tea Party has always been here. It's what got the 1994 conservative revolution and contract with America in place. It is what elected Ronald Reagan both times. It just got magnified. Now, why did it get magnified? Was it because of Obama? No, because the whole thing happened before he was even known to be the next president. It started because of things like TARP, which Mini Mitt Paul Ryan was very much for. It started because of compassionate conservatism delivered by Karl Rove in 2000, when Bush was running as a non-interventionist, and then, you know, turned out to be the biggest warmonger we've ever seen until Barack Obama got elected. And it started because George Bush pretty much told you that the days of choice in the free market are over. I mean, here's the thing about, you know, some people, the free market doesn't work, it hasn't provided anything. Well, the free market might suck, but it sucks less than anything else, because at least you have choices. Now, with Obamacare in 3,000 rural counties, you're going to be limited to the choice of one or maybe two medical insurance plans. That is going to cause a severe shortage of your network access and severe waiting for your physician. And remember when Bush said this?
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
Yeah. He abandoned free market principles to, you know, save the free market system? Bullshit. I call bullshit on that. That's what this Obamacare thing is. They keep telling you, well, the exchanges are market-oriented. It's capitalism. The insurance companies are dropping people because they chose to do it. It wasn't because of anything that we did in the law. Well, that's a bunch of crap. And the very simple fact is, you were talking about light bulbs and you were talking about the car you drive and all this kind of stuff. Well, if this thing goes full online, it's worse than that, okay? For example, Chris, and you don't have to answer these questions honestly, but just answer them. Do you own a gun? Have you ever been angry? Have you ever been angry? You know, have you ever gotten a speeding ticket? Have you ever run afoul of any local laws? Have you had any problems with the police? Do you believe that a corporal punishment is acceptable? Do you pray in public? You know, you think these are inconsequential questions, but let me tell you something. Physicians are going to be asking these kinds of things, not because they want to, but because they have to, and recording it and reporting it to the databases that are in HHS, IRS, FBI. Of course, the NSA knows everything already. And so then they're going to start coming up with stuff like, well, you know, Chris displays signs of anger. We don't think he should own a gun. In fact, we think that he's very likely to engage in road rage. We don't think he should own a car. Or if he does own a car, it's going to have to be a car that's monitored by the government so the police know about his every move and can find him wherever he is to make sure that he's not up to no good. You think this is insane?
I thought they already did that.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, in many places they do. But this is the exact kind of stuff that's going to happen if you allow this thing to go full online. So don't think this is a problem merely because some people are getting dropped from their private insurance plans. This is much, much worse than that. And the thing is, it is so easy to win against it because it's coming off its, you know, wheels. And maybe it was supposed to bring about universal health care. But that's only if you're stupid enough to believe that it's going to fail because of its, quote, free market aspect. It's going to fail because it was either designed to fail or these people are far too incompetent to put it forward. Either way, it is a very easy political move for the opposing party to win against this. But only if only if that opposing party is actually opposing, and the RINOs are in opposition. Go ahead.
Well, the thing that is important to understand about Obamacare, and I don't remember which audio clip that we have where the guy, oh, it was Storm Clouds, was talking about it. That was a great clip because it really, you know, nailed that point about this is not socialized medicine. This is corporatism, fascism to the max. These huge insurance companies, and here's the thing, you got to think about this kind of stuff. Everybody who's ever had any kind of interaction with insurance in their life, whether it's healthcare or an accident or, you know, your house burns down or water damage or whatever the case may be, is frustrated, you know, by what they've had to deal with insurance companies, because insurance companies don't make money paying. They make money because they don't pay, and their whole mechanism is to design to minimize, you know, how minimize risk and minimize payout. So most people already have a negative, feeling about insurance companies. Well, what this law does is it basically makes every human being in this country have to buy insurance, number one. Number two, not that that's necessarily, you know, I didn't want to go there, but, you know, not that that's not a bad thing. I mean, people should have some kind of insurance. You know, just like in my state, you know, you have to carry auto insurance because, idiot, you go out and get an accident, you don't have insurance, then, you know, somebody else has got to pay for it. But, I mean, there's arguments for that, but not the way they're doing it. The second thing is it's limiting. Everything that we've seen across the board is limiting what your options are and telling you what you have to get inside your insurance package, which is driving costs up and deductibles up and copays up. So insurance companies will bank on this thing if it doesn't destroy the economy. You know, they're getting guaranteed customers that the law says you have to buy this, and you have to buy it, number one, and number two, you got to pay more now. I mean, why in the hell wouldn't they be happy? As long as it doesn't go to a single-payer system where the government becomes the insurance company, the insurance companies are banking on this. So this is not socialized medicine. This is fascism. And that should bother, yeah, or corporatism. I like fascism, but, you know, same concept. But, you know, the thing is,
it's that? The same idea. It's crap. It's
yeah,
crap.
I know. I just like fascism because it's so much more bold. But anyway, so what happens is you're in a situation where that should bother you. I mean, that in itself. You know, and it's just like, this is unsustainable. I mean, this is crushing people's lives. People are already broke. We've had 5 years of hell. There is no recovery. You know, can you imagine? I mean, it's just mind-boggling to think that somebody all of a sudden in the blink of an eye, because of some insane law that no Republican voted for, some insane law.
Even the bad ones.
All of a sudden it's double. Yeah, even the bad ones didn't vote for this. They were smart enough to realize this thing was going to be a mess. So, you know, here we are.
Yeah,
but,
no,
you know, getting
no,
into the economics
right.
of this, you know, is going to be huge.
Go ahead. Yeah, and look, the thing is that insurance, okay, is a transfer of risk, okay? And the reason that this thing was sold is, well, you're already paying for these people because they go to the emergency room and you all end up paying for it. Well, you know, not necessarily. You know, you could pass a law.
That was a spin.
But that makes the person who chooses to be uninsured liable for the coverage of the cost of their medical care. You know, that's retained risk. If someone chooses to retain risk, that's up to them. For example, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, there is a law that says that you have to have automobile insurance if you're going to drive the vehicle on the public roads. Well, that's kind of reasonable. I mean, that is not, you know, a destruction of the free market, because other than the normal mandates for insurance, which I disagree with, I think insurance companies should put in their policies what they want, and then you decide if you like what they have or if you don't like what they have, if you want to pay more, if you want to pay less. But besides the point, it makes sense because I'm driving on the road with these people, and I want to make sure that if they injure me, that I can get compensation. Most people don't have enough money or enough wealth to cover the injury they cause to somebody else. For example, if somebody earns $50,000 a year in income and you cripple them with your car and say they're 40 years old, okay, which means they're going to work for at least another 20 years. So you do some simple math. 20 times 50,000 is $2 million. Do you have $2 million laying around to pay for that guy's family income because you've now injured him? Probably not, but your insurance company could. That's the whole idea. But in Virginia, if you choose not to be insured, you can pay a fixed rate, I think it's $400, to the government and not have insurance. So there are ways to manage the behavior, you know, get people covered and transfer the risk without mandating the kind of payment of the product that they have to buy, forcing them to buy the product, taxing them if they don't. Okay? There are ways to do that. And so there is a certain balance between absolute free market and absolutism in government, where there is a certain amount of regulation to make the market regular so that people are indemnified. That can be put forward with, you know, proper medical and insurance reform, and probably best done in 50 different places by 50 different governments, so that highest and best practices will come to light and the things that don't work will fail. We've already tried Obamacare in one state, and it failed. It failed so badly that the Republicans picked the guy that passed it to run as the presidential candidate last year. And he was running against repealing Obamacare. I'm like, dude, you built Obamacare. Why would I believe you? And guess what? People didn't believe him, and he lost.
Repeal, replace, reform,
repair, retard, recoil, relent, whatever.
Retard. Jeez.
Yeah, that's the kind of insanity that is going on there. And what people really need to understand is that this is not about Obamacare. I mean, I know we're talking a lot about it because it's kind of a big topic, but it's not about Obamacare. This is about, are we going to be an empire abroad and have an imperial government that dictates our life to us as serfs on their feudal estate? Or are we going to be a republic where we are responsible for ourselves and we are at liberty to live our lives the way that we think we should? That's the question over this Obamacare thing. That's the question over the Virginia race tomorrow. That's the question in 2014. The problem is that it's not so simple as, well, if I vote for the blue team, I'm voting for empire, and if I vote for the red team, I'm voting for republic. It's not that simple. Because the fact is, the imperialists are in the blue team and in the red team. So if you're on the red team, you got to figure out, is this guy actually on this team according to the platform that they have put forward, or is this guy really a double agent who actually works for the blue team but wears a red jersey? That's what you have to find out. And then you have to inform other people so that they can turn out and have people power defeat money power, because the enemy will have more money than we will all the way through. That doesn't mean don't contribute. And when I say contribute, if you have the funds, contribute, but do not give money to the Republican Party.
To the parties.
Not at the state level, not at the national level, not the Senate fund, not the House fund. Do not give the Republican Party any. In fact, defund the Republican Party. Give them zero money. You find a real conservative, a real libertarian candidate, and you give that person the money directly. If you give it to the Republicans, it'll be funneled towards people who are not looking out for your interests. Very important point. There's a lot of people out there, a lot of good conservatives, a lot of good libertarians, a lot of people who love liberty and the Constitution, who feel that they need to do something and end up giving money to the RNC, who then turns around and works against their interests. The same thing happens on the other side. You join a shop, they tell you you got to join the union and pay the dues, and you do. They funnel those dues towards the Democrats. Now, you're a pipe fitter or a welder. You're a deer hunter. You like your, you know, hunting. You like owning your guns. You know, you like going to church on Sunday, but you happen to generally, work in a field where you have to be a union guy, and they give money to Democrats who then act in your own interest. You're funding your own demise. So stop doing that as conservatives. Don't give money to the Republican Party. Give it to the candidates directly. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, no, that's good. You up for going back to that clip that we got cut off on?
Yeah, let's do that. But first, let's real quick wrap up this whole Virginia thing. I got the last 4 minutes with Ken Cuccinelli on Levin Show. And the reason I think that's important is he actually says some stuff that appeals to a national level, and so you have to understand that this is, and this is important because I can tell you for certain that Ken Cuccinelli is a constitutionalist and a conservative, despite what you may be hearing and what you will hear in the next few days. Whether he wins or loses, you're going to hear this stuff. This is a huge example.
Isn't the race tomorrow?
Yeah, it's a but the debate is going to go on after that. Either whether it's a win or a loss, they're going to spin it so that it translates to 2014.
Right, I got you.
The important thing to understand, okay, is what you're getting in the news is not who this guy is. It's the same thing that they did to Newt Gingrich. It's the same thing they did to Ron Paul. So you really, it's a great current example of how this machine works against you. Don't fall for the lies. Here's Ken Cuccinelli with Mark Levin, and it's about 5 minutes.
Well, I will tell you this one quick shot, Mark.
Yes, sir.
The truth is my friend in this race. The more people know about me and my record of fighting for Virginians, fighting against the federal government, fighting for liberty, and the more they know about Terry McAuliffe's sleazy background and frankly, the investigations he has running now, the better I do. The better I do.
And this notion that he's a businessman, he's a huckster. He's a sleazeball. He's a conniver. He's a fundraiser. And he's not really a businessman. And he wants... Here's my concern. Many, many people have moved into Virginia from other states. They've moved into Virginia from Maryland, from Delaware. They've come here from the District of Columbia to escape the smothering taxation and regulation of the left-wing knuckleheads and goofballs and kooks. And this guy represents all of that. He will literally change the nature of Virginia if he becomes governor, will he not?
He will, and this is a governorship first held by Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson, which I got to tell you, when I even say that, is a very humbling thought to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think my opponent even knows that, and he doesn't care.
It amazes me how he gets away with being so superficial in the media in this state. And not just the written media, but the broadcast media, even radio hosts. They just think this is some kind of joke or something. Or it's not a joke. And more than that, like this is some national campaign he's running, and that Obamacare and so forth will be reinforced, and people will show they approve of it if he wins. This is a concern I have.
Yeah, no, I share that concern. Obviously, my first focus is Virginia, but it is not lost on me what the significance of all this is. And I would also tell you that as the sort of victim of it all, I believe the left has essentially adopted a new strategy, and it is to lie through their teeth and spend us into the dirt. And that's what they're doing in my race. And they assume that, first of all, correctly, the press will not call them on it. There are newspapers in Virginia are not calling McAuliffe out on all these lies. Even when they identify them. I mean, the Washington Post hit McAuliffe in an editorial for saying the Medicaid expansion would fund all these promises he's making all over Virginia, like it was a magic money tree. And then they go on to endorse him. It's unbelievable. Actually,
yeah,
the Washington Post, it's completely believable. But
yeah, well,
this Obamacare
fanatics.
Is central to the race, and for them to acknowledge something like that and then go the other way is insane.
We're running out of time. Give me the three or four core reasons people in Virginia who still aren't sure what to do should vote for you.
Sure. I have literally been fighting Virginians my whole adult life, whether it's fighting sexual assault, homelessness, juvenile delinquency, working on behalf of veterans, working for the mentally ill. My opponent never did anything, not one thing, for Virginians or Virginia before he ran for governor. That's one. Two, you want to send Washington a message? Terry McAuliffe embodies Washington right down to his very core. You gotta beat Washington by beating Terry McAuliffe, and you can come vote for me. I've been fighting Washington. Three, Obamacare. You want to vote against Obamacare? A vote for Ken Cuccinelli is a vote to hold back Obamacare. A vote for Terry McAuliffe is a vote to expand it. And number four, I'm for lower taxes, $700 a family to grow 58,000 jobs, and he's for higher taxes, $1,700 higher for a family of four. So there's the quick four, Mark.
All over the country, if you want to endorse Cuccinelli in this race, you can use your help against the forces on the other side. It's Cuccinelli, right?
Double L.
Cuccinelli.com.
And we can sure use the help, folks. $50, $500, whatever you can do, we need it all to fight the unions, Planned Parenthood, Michael Bloomberg, and these radical environmentalists.
Well, you're a good man, you're a decent man, you're a family man, you're a patriot, you believe in liberty and low taxes and private property rights, you believe in law enforcement, you believe in this state, and I wish you all the best, Ken. God bless you.
Thanks, Mark, and I'd appreciate your vote. I know you're a Virginia voter, too.
Nah, that won't be hard. All right, man. God bless. Yeah, don't forget the turnout. These are turnout elections. And by the way, I want to mention a dear friend of mine who I've known forever, who's a great patriot as well, who's running for delegate, Barbara Comstock, in the McLean area. Folks, you got to turn out. All these delegate races and state senate races and so forth, that'll be a big issue as the nation looks upon Virginia and, quite frankly, looks upon New Jersey, too. But a shout-out to my dear friend Barbara Comstock, who is an exceptional delegate. And just pay attention to this. This is not only a Virginia race, it has national implications, very important implications.
He's right about that. It's not just a Virginia race. It has national implications, very important ones, not just for electoral politics, but for conservatism and libertarianism in their strict sense as to whether there's even a shot in 2014. And he mentioned Jersey. Obviously, Christie is just going to roll through there, but keep in mind, there can be nothing more different than Virginia and New Jersey on this. New Jersey has Chris Christie, who's going to win in a landslide because he's a Democrat. Ken Cuccinelli is fighting. He's fighting for every single vote he gets to win in Virginia because Ken Cuccinelli is a conservative and Chris Christie is a Democrat. And that is the problem with the Republican Party. The ones that win easily are the ones that talk conservative when they're campaigning but stay away from the controversial issues and then govern like Democrats when they're in power. And it is easy for them to win if people keep falling for it. And what you have to do is fight on the ground, locally, everywhere, over the next year. It's going to be a long campaign in order to make 2014 happen for the Constitution and turn back towards being a republic instead of being an empire. Well, let's comment on this race, Chris, and then we'll move on to Schiff and the economy, and then we'll close out with that storm clouds clip that you mentioned.
Yeah, it's an awesome clip. I'm really glad that we covered this, because, I mean, that's your state, so you've been on this. But, you know, to bring this stuff up, because it really is a sobering effect. You know, this is real. These Obama, here's the thing. You know, I've read the social media. I've watched the news. I've, seen it and heard it all. I mean, the whole country, Obama this, Obama that, Obama this, Obama that. And then they turn around and stay home and watch football, you know, when there's important races and situations like this. And, you know, if you're not going to get involved, then don't complain. You know, that's just all I can say. Because it is amazing to me how much people complain. And then when you need them to step up and get involved and to pass on information or, you know, send money or, you know, get out the vote or, what, you know, get involved. And then they're absent, but they're really good at complaining and passing around, posting articles all day long, you know, negative articles. And, you know, the thing is that I think that anybody who really understands basic philosophical differences between, you know, socialism, Marxism, and republicanism, and what this country was founded on, and you have those basic concepts, you know, the Bill of Rights, you know, your natural rights given to you by God, not by a government who can take them away tomorrow, and which seems to be, you know, whether it's the Second Amendment or freedom of speech. I mean, every one of these issues are under attack by this administration because they have a different worldview about freedom and rights and where they want America to go. You know, this fundamental change stuff is a whole different thing than most of us have grown up with in this country. And if you do not want that, these midterms and, you know, things like what Cuccinelli is going through are important. They're more important than all in a lot of ways than all the energy that we spend on the presidential election, because as you see it now, you know, the last 5 years, especially since 2010, I mean, the last 3-4 years that we've had the massive winning the House and reducing the supermajority in the Senate and all these governorships and 24 states that are totally controlled by Republicans and 34 Republican governors. You know, that success from 2010 is the only thing that's kept us from totally being over the edge already as far as what America was going to be. Because if because you look what they did in the first 2 years, they had total control of the House and the Senate and the presidency. So it really, it's not a thing to get upset about or get emotional about or whatever the case may be. You just have to ask yourself, what do I believe in? And am I going to go fight for that? Because if you don't, then you might as well just quit posting articles and roll over and accept it and pay your new Obamacare fees and your new taxes and the new taxes that are going to come next month when the Republicans fold again. You have to replace these people because these Republicans in the power structure of the House and Senate have folded on every issue that we voted for in 2010 to stop. It's really that simple when you get down to it.
Yep, but it is. The Tea Party was appropriated, and the RINOs handed the Democrats and Obama everything they wanted. And actually, what we saw recently with the so-called government shutdown, is that it doesn't take that. You don't even need a majority because of the way the Constitution is set up to block this agenda. But why did the shutdown happen? Because Harry Reid wanted to fully fund Obamacare, even though it's a complete failure. And why were they able to end those negotiations, and why did the Democrats get everything that they wanted? Because of Mitch McConnell and John Boehner. So that's why it's important to take over the Republican Party with real conservatives. And we've been talking about Obamacare and how bad it is for the economy, but one of the reasons that they were able to put it through is because people saw a real problem. And it was misidentified so that they can give you an even worse solution. And the problem was rising insurance and medical care costs. Now there's a lot of reasons why those things are going up, some regulatory reasons, some supply and demand issues, aging population, all that kind of stuff, and those are all important factors. But the single most prominent reason for these increasing costs is the debasement of the currency. By reducing the value of the dollar, they make everything cost more, including your health care. And that's how they're able to sell this thing. Now, how does that happen? That happens because of the other track that we're on, in addition to Obamacare, which is going to wipe out your liberties and the Constitution and turn you into a failing empire. The other track has been going on for 100 years, and that is the privately owned Federal Reserve Bank, which is not federal. It's not part of the government, although it does control the government, and it doesn't have any reserves. It fabricates money out of nothing, backed by nothing other than the military might of the United States and the ability of the government to rip you off by taxing you to pay the interest. And creating more money only raises prices. Peter Schiff, who's the CEO of Europac Financial, has been talking about this for a long time. He's an Austrian. No, he's not from Austria. He's from Connecticut. He subscribes to the Austrian School of Economics, which is the same school that Rand Paul subscribes to, Ron Paul, and most of us who know anything about money believe in. It happens to also be one that is not so hot with the alleged libertarian candidate Robert Sarvis in Virginia. If you don't know how these things work, you won't understand how you fix them. So it's important for you to learn these things. I strongly suggest you go to Mises.org, that's Mises.org, and start learning. But this is the clip that we were playing yesterday, and Chris and I were going to comment on it when Blog Talk Radio shut down and we lost the feed, which is why we're doing this show tonight. It's a 5-minute clip on the Kudlow Report. It has Peter Schiff and a few other guys talking about this very issue. Chris and I will be back on the other side to discuss it.
Peter Schiff joins us, CEO of Euro Pacific Capital. You know, I understand that they removed some things from the statement today, but I just have a totally different – I'm going to you, Peter. I read the New York Times Sunday with this big story about the Fed seeking to raise inflation. And I believe under Janet Yellen, just continuing Ben Bernanke, I call her the Empress of Dubs. that they would like to see an inflation rate of somewhere around 3 to 5%, like guys like Paul Krugman have been advocating for years. Now, they're pouring a lot of money in. So far, it hasn't happened. But I think that's the Fed policy.
Well, that is the policy. And you can imagine how bad inflation would actually be if the official numbers were 4 or 5%, because I think it's already higher than that. And the main reason that it's not even higher is because we've been able to export that inflation abroad. But you go back to this Fed statement. The Fed doesn't mention taper. It says adjust monetary policy. Adjustment doesn't imply a direction. I think what the Fed is getting ready to do is increase the amount of QE, not diminish it.
See, Annie Bush, the consumer price index actually slowing down. I mean, what was it today? Year-on-year, 1.2%, something like that. It's an odd thing that all the reserves the Fed has printed has not yet been converted into the money supply, hence causing inflation. But I think they're going to hang in there. That's why I think they're going to keep buying bonds and keep hoping that somehow the inflation rate goes up. I think that's the policy. I don't care what the FOMC statement said today. They want a 3% or higher inflation rate.
That's right. It's something that certainly would make Chicago Fed President Charlie Evans very happy, because he's advocated that. But the Fed is like a rabid dog chasing its tail. If it lets the market know it wants to taper, then rates go up, and then lo and behold, financial conditions grow tighter. And they mentioned that in September. But then as the market, you know, reacted to them not tapering, financial conditions eased. And in this statement, they get rid of that statement about financial conditions tightening. It's a bad cycle that the Fed's in. They're going to get trapped in this. I don't see a clear way out. They have to keep their balance sheet. They won't ever. I'm not sure what they can
no
do
way
at
out.
This point.
They have no way out. They have,
yeah, they
have
really
no game. They
no
have
path.
No exit strategy. They have no
right.
game plan. It's just as bad as the budget and tax committees in Congress. They have no exit strategy and no way out. But I was going to say this. Look, I call her Janet Yellen with all respect. She's very smart, okay? She is the
right.
Empress of Dubs, okay? That's what
yep.
she is.
Based on
inflation,
November.
Inflationism is the new goal at the Fed.
First of all, we have nothing on which we should base calling her the Queen of Dubs.
Not Empress.
We have nothing, to base,
nothing to base it on.
Why?
Her whole record is like that. But that said, let's step away from Paul Krugman for a second and bring up Ken Rogoff.
Right. Who won 6% inflation. Now, don't those voices mean something to you when you hear those quoted in a New York Times story?
These are forget the New York Times story. Ken Rogoff has been saying this since day one, mm-hmm. and I give him all the credit. He's someone I share a lot of views with. I should be associated with him. It would be great for me. But that said, there is something to be said in the literature for a burst of inflation or a moderately higher level of inflation than we've been experiencing. And inherent in this entire discussion or underlying this entire discussion is exactly what you brought up, which is that the CPI on a year-over-year basis is running less than the
Fed
target.
Right.
So we can scream all we want about what the Fed's doing and it's printing, based on the way that the government measures inflation, which, of course, is an important caveat.
Peter,
you're not getting it.
This story bothers me. It doesn't even have the patina of any control, let's say, over the value of the dollar, what I call king dollar.
That's the Treasury.
It doesn't have any. The Fed is a major. Yes, it is the Treasury, but the Fed is an important driver. And anyway, since when does higher inflation promote better economic growth? Since when does higher inflation help the economy?
It doesn't. It retards it. I mean, this is a ruse. They don't want more inflation to help the economy. It's not going to help the economy. What they want to do is sustain asset bubbles. They want to sustain government spending. They want to keep on monetizing debt. They're looking for an increase why they're not going to taper QE, because they can't.
You think the Federal Reserve wants to create asset bubbles?
But that's all they've got.
Bubbles.
That's this whole phony economy is all they've got. They can't take away the punch bowl without bringing the party to an end. So they're going to keep on spiking it and making up excuses. But they're never going to tell the truth that they've got us addicted to this cheap money and that they can't take it away. The economy is actually in worse shape today than when the Fed started QE1.
I think they are going to consciously, you know, they've got these data-driven targets. But I think they don't want a higher target. They don't want a 2% inflation target, Andy Bush. They want more. I believe if they could get it, they'd like 3, 4, 5%.
That's the whole point. They can't get it.
That was Peter Schiff responding to, I don't even know the guy's name, but he's talking about, you know, inflation being helpful to the economy. What a bunch of horse crap. It does nothing but rip you off to finance the asset bubbles, Obamacare, the wars, all the stuff that you don't like, they're ripping you off. And it's not just the money they take away from you in taxes. because taxes are obvious, so they have to monitor how much they tax you. They can always tax the wealthy, but they can't tax you. The problem is that there's always somebody below you who thinks you're the wealthy guy. But the fact is that inflation is the worst of all taxes. It's the worst of all taxes because it is invisible.
Yeah. Well, it's invisible until you go to the store. Can you explain monetizing debt? Because you hear that a lot, and I don't think a lot of people understand that.
Yeah, and it's something you really need to understand, because monetizing the debt, if you really take it to its logical conclusion, is nothing more than monetizing your life, okay? Because the way that it works is the Treasury, right, it issues IOUs, call them Treasury bonds. It means, you know, you give us $1 million today, and we're going to pay you 3% interest on that for the next 30 years, and at the end of 30 years, we're going to give you back your $1 million. The problem is that that's an IOU based on nothing more than their ability to tax you, okay? And how do they tax you? Well, you go to work, or you run a business. You put in the sweat. You put in the labor. You put in the time. And then you work 6 months of the year merely to pay the taxes. So they robbed you of your time. They robbed you of your life. And what they do with that is the Federal Reserve creates money out of nothing based on a ledger entry and buys these Treasury bonds, and then the bank that sells it puts the money in the bank. And once they do that, because of fractional reserve banking, they have to put a reserve at the Federal Reserve, and then they can pyramid 9 times that amount, depending on the reserve rates, usually 9 or more times, that amount by lending out that money that they don't even have. And it increases the quantity of money, which reduces the value of each monetary unit, and every one of us is poorer because everything will cost more, but we're also poorer because they put our life in hock in order to produce this debt and have us pay it back by working as slaves for the rest of our lives. That's how it works. It's a very dangerous thing because it makes everything expensive, and we've been exporting that and pissing off a lot of foreign countries. Some of them are starting to move away from the dollar, and when they do, all the paper dollars that they are holding will come flooding back to this country, and you won't think that a 10% price increase is a problem anymore, because you'll be facing quadruple-digit price increases.
Yeah. Well, there was have you seen that documentary, The Wizard of Oz? Came out in 2010. I think I posted
it. Yeah, a long time ago.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, and they go, you know, there's several really good documentaries that go through the whole economic, you know, what is economics, how was money created, you know, these different standards. But the Wizard of Oz goes all the way back to the Roman era, talks about their prosperous age, and then when everything started going to hell and how they screwed around with their money, and goes right into England, you know, goes into England and their great growth time. And then when the Bank of England was formed, and then it goes, rolls into the United States. And, you know, they get into this whole battle, you know, with what was going on in the United States economically and how they were, you know, creating their monetary system, and then how the banks from Bank of England and tried to get in here and set up these national banks and all this stuff. And it's a great documentary. And for people who don't understand the complexity of economics, these types of shows are very good, because it, you know, it keeps it simple, it talks to you in plain English, and it walks you through the process, because you've got to build this knowledge, because unfortunately in our school system we don't teach this. And so if you don't purposefully go out and learn it, then all you are is just working your ass off, your rear end off, and you know, paying more and more and more taxes, and then paying more taxes in inflation. That's what people don't understand. They just allow inflation to happen, and they just bitch about how much milk has gone up or gas has gone up or building supplies, and then they go back, you know, they go back and they watch the battle between the R's and the D's over increasing taxes, and they don't realize that they just had their basic commodity taxes in this country have gone up somewhere between 15% and 20%. I mean, it's just, don't you get it yet? And I really don't think people understand this stuff, you know. We've lost, you know, these guys were talking about, you know, 1.5 and 5%, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, I can see 15-20% price differences right now on many things.
Well, they were
so,
yeah, they were referring
that's
to
already
the CPI.
Happening.
Yeah.
Well,
they were talking
CPI
about the consumer price
alive.
Index, which is a bunch of horseshit. Well, of course it is. I mean, look, the CPI measurement of inflation, which is basically a basket of goods that the government puts together to make whatever numbers work, the calculation they use now is showing you that inflation's like, you know, 2% or something like that. If you take the same data and plug it into the calculation they used in the 1990s, inflation would be like 6%. If you take the same data
right.
and plug it into the calculation they used in the 1980s, it would be closer to 10%. But if you actually look at what it is, it's closer to 15% or more. The problem
yeah.
is
That's
that
what
we
I
haven't
see.
Seen it because, yeah, we haven't seen it that much because most of the inflation they've created, which remember is an increase in the quantity of money, has not been velocitized, which is pushed out into our economy
right.
yet.
They're
but
just
that's
playing
going
with it in the banks
happen.
And the stock markets. Yeah.
Yep. So that's precisely why the stock market, the asset bubble, that's why it's high. It's why the bond market is going to implode. Remember something, the bond market is like 10 times bigger than the stock market. And it's precisely why we have to build up our military-industrial complex, because when this thing comes crashing down, not only are you going to need a police state here at home to keep everything in check, especially when 49 million people lose their food stamps, but you also need the guns overseas to plunder resources because that's the only thing that's going to float the dollar. That's precisely why at the root of the failing republic and the rising empire is the Federal Reserve. I'm not saying that it's necessarily like some kind of conspiracy where they sit around a boardroom on Liberty Street and talk about how they're going to take over the world, but the actions of the private central bank engender empire abroad and a police state at home. If you want to reverse it, you have to learn how this thing works. But the only way you're going to reverse it is if you put people into office who actually will respond to these things rather than play along. And the Republican Party is a play-along party. They speak like they're opposing, but they don't really oppose. And anytime somebody who actually opposes and actually stands up and fights and puts forth better solutions, someone like, say, Senator Ted Cruz, they attack him. Or someone like Dr. Ron Paul, they destroy him. Or someone like Newt Gingrich, who actually got the ball moving in the right direction with a smarter and more capable liberal Democrat than this guy that Boehner's up against. And so what do? They oust Newt Gingrich. That's what happens. Unless you, Mr. and Mrs. Grassroots, get more people involved and use people power over and against money power to restore the republic. And that's what this is about. That's what Obamacare is about. That's what the election tomorrow in Virginia is about. That's what the Federal Reserve is about. And that's exactly what 2014 is going to be about. But the media is going to spin it in a different way. And unless you are out there teaching people these things that we are talking about, getting people to come to this show, getting people to go to Mises.org, getting people to listen to alternative media television, getting people to listen to Ben Swan, then you're going to be fighting an uphill battle next year because we need more people. And the only person who can get them is you. Nobody else is going to do it.
Yeah, all the big money is going to be, you know, what in your terminology of corporatism, you know, all these big mega corporations that we just bailed out. I mean, all the money that we are printing and borrowing is all feeding the same entities that took us into the crash. I mean, it's just... You know, it's and you go, is it that bad? Yeah, it is that bad. I mean, all the information's out there. It's not conspiracy theory. All you got to do is just study it. You know, that we bailed them all out, and they're all right back in doing the same damn thing. You know, they're the ones that are, you know, that are controlling Washington. They're controlling the stock market. They're controlling the decisions about what the Fed is doing. I mean, it's the same group of people. And they're doing it again. Now we got some pretty, you know, we have a whole new series of bubbles climbing right now, and bubbles pop. You know, that's what they're all about. And here we are.
And if you know when they're
going to
pop, you can take advantage of it and make a boatload of money. The problem is that we don't know when it's going to pop, but some people do.
Yeah.
Because they create it.
Yeah, they do.
Hey, Chris,
cool.
I'm going to close out with the Storm Clouds video, which talks about Obamacare, but I'm also going to preface that beforehand with a five-minute Ken Cuccinelli in the center seat on Neocon Hour with Brett Baer from Fox News. just because the race is tomorrow, and I think it's important people understand how this has magnificent national consequences, especially for conservatives. So why don't we go to final thoughts, and then you and I'll close it out, and then I'll play those clips before we go.
No, I think this was important. This is what we were going to, you know, do last night, and the system shut us off. So it's very important. There's the race, the Virginia race is important because it's defining, you know, what the battle's going to be going into 2014. And, you know, obviously Obamacare is a huge issue. But in reality, you know, understanding economics, I mean, Obamacare is just one more broken system being on, you know, added on top of all these other messes that we're in. And nothing is, there's no reform. There's been no reform in the federal government in the last 5 years. They've doubled down and they've expanded government. They've just expanded departments. You know, the only things that we have actually kind of won on was the Second Amendment and no war in Syria. You know, outside of that, you know, they've pushed forward massive programs. Every department, in fact, President just signed some new executive orders on this climate change stuff. You know, it's just more control factors, and that's what's coming. And I there's days I think these people are just flat out insane. You cannot continue to print money and do what they're doing. The whole world is moving away from the U.S. dollar. That's trillions of dollars of trade money, and that will end up coming back to the United States. So that's like, you know, that's like saying, okay, let's just print 2 more trillion and throw it on the market, because that's what's going to happen when these countries move away from the U.S. dollar. They're sick of our politicians, and they're sick of the Fed, and they're sick of our policies, and they're sick of nobody reforming. We are such a major player in the world, and other countries are going, you know, we're tired of suffering every time a bunch of corrupt politicians that have no testicles will not face the issues. I mean, when you look at entitlement reform or that conversation, you're talking about kicking a can down the road. Medicaid alone is $34 trillion. $34 trillion of unfunded liability. We have the largest generation in the history of the world retiring, you know, right now. And that's another, you know, massive add-on to the entitlement program, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, all those programs. I mean, you can see all of these moves that they're making. I mean, it's you know, you can go down this Obamacare road and what it means in terms of people's lives, especially. You don't think these people aren't sitting around looking at, you know, 10 million people retiring in the next couple of years and what that's going to mean to these programs? They're looking for total control so they can say, you get this, you don't get that, you don't get this operation, you're too old, you're no longer, you know, productive for society, so you need to figure out, you know, your end days. I mean, there is so much we could talk about in this situation, and none of it's good. So, yeah. And they refuse to fix it. And they refuse to fix, you know, this is all repairable. You know, this is the greatest country ever existed in the history of the world. It's all repairable. But you got the wrong people in there. You know, they're more concerned with, you know, what can we give people to get our vote and stay in power versus what should we do, you know, to fix this country and make it great again. That's really the fundamental difference that you're looking at right now. I'm done.
That's absolutely right, Chris. And you can join Chris, affectionately known as Trog with the Big Club, at Coalition of Freedom on Facebook. I highly recommend you check it out if you want to know what's going on. There's a lot of valuable information, a lot of good discussion about how we can fix these things. And that is exactly what we were talking about. We point out a lot of negative things. That doesn't make us conspiracy theorists. It doesn't make us pessimists. It doesn't make us doomers and gloomers. We're pointing to you
a lot
how
of crap going on.
The situation as it really is. You don't live in the world as you wish it would be. You live in the world as it is. Wishing it were different doesn't make it so. But working your ass off to make it different may lead to success. It may not. So you're only responsible for the amount of effort you put into it. The results don't belong to you, but you'd better work hard and get other people involved. The thing to keep in mind is that this debacle with Obamacare is the next program to follow along in the lines of other programs like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Now, discussing the merits and demerits of those programs is a whole another topic for a whole another day, but just understand something. They're not working as they were intended, or maybe they are, but not the public intentions. You're talking about $120,000 billion that doesn't exist that is required to just fund those three programs. You add this on top of it, which will be bigger than all three of them combined, and you have just destroyed the economy, and you will have no chance of restoring the republic. You will become a declining and defeated empire. That's how important this is. The good news is that these kinds of situations clarify. They show you who's who. I mean, the wonderful thing about the shutdown and the caving of the Republicans is they revealed themselves. That's what they were pissed about. That's why they attacked Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, because they were exposed for the liars that they are. What you have to do is take that information and get it in the hands of the American people who are uninformed, and you know some of them. Get them involved and get the numbers to turn out to make 2014 bigger than 2010 for conservatives, for conservative libertarians, and for people who love liberty and the Constitution. That's how it's done. It begins right now because the Democrats are on their heels. Their exalted imperator has been exposed for being the naked emperor that he is, the friggin' liar that he is. The Democrats have been shown to be the socialists and communists that they are. They've lied to the people. They've lost their way. They're easy to defeat. Unless the Republicans can manage to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, which is exactly what they want to do. And the only way you can stop them is to replace every son of a bitch rhino in that party with a real conservative and a real libertarian. It's totally, totally up to you. You have to keep in mind there's a lot going on. The Senate just passed Senate Bill 815, which basically is a bill that extends civil rights to people's odd behavior. It isn't about the way you were born or the color of your skin or your gender. This is about behavior, and they've just turned it into a civil right. They're about to give somewhere between 11 and 40 million illegal trespassers not only the right to live here, but also to participate in the Obamacare debacle, to vote, and to basically become what they are right now, undocumented Democrats, and basically destroy the chances of conservatives to have any chance in the future. These are the kinds of things that are going on. You can stop it, but only if you work really, really hard. There are 3,000 rural communities that are going to be down to one or two insurance choices with this plan. When the full Obamacare comes online, somewhere between 50 and 150 million Americans will lose their private coverage and be forced into this government-controlled system. That's what's going on. In Virginia tomorrow, there's a race. We have a conservative ticket. We got Ken Cuccinelli. We got E.W. Jackson. And we've got Mark Obenchain. If you're in Virginia, go out and vote. And vote for a sheriff who knows what the job of the sheriff is, not just another, status son of a bitch, and make sure you get the right delegates in there. Because the battle is coming between the states and the federal government, and you need good people in your state governments, which should be more important to you. It's very vitally important what happens in Virginia because the spin from the media is going to be about national politics for 2014, no matter what the results are tomorrow. If, God willing, Ken Cuccinelli wins, the rhinos are going to try to appropriate the Tea Party conservative grassroots again. If Ken Cuccinelli loses, which I hope doesn't happen, there's going to be a national spin machine that basically says the failing website and people, anecdotal 5% people losing their insurance plans is no repudiation of Obamacare, and he didn't lie about you losing your coverage. That's the kind of stuff that's going to happen. Either way, it's going to be a lie, but what happens tomorrow matters, and you'd better educate people about it. Chris and I will be back Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, a regular time, following up on whatever happens. But the most important thing to remember in times like this, if you want to live in the empire, you have to understand that it can be good for a while. I can tell you, living in the Imperial City, there's a lot of money floating around this place, and life can look pretty good. If you're the imperial power, things can look good for you for a while. But empires fall, and they fall fast, and this empire will be gone in the next 5 years. But republics can last longer so long as the people stay resolute and realize that liberty requires perpetual vigilance. It's totally up to you. You've got to get people involved. You've got to make them aware. You've got to know what you stand for, and you've got to understand how these things work. Sometimes it sucks. Sometimes you don't feel like doing it. Sometimes it seems overwhelming. But you don't have a choice, because without responsibility and a sense of duty, there is no liberty. There is only tyranny. It is totally up to you. The wind is at our backs. The enemies in our camp have been exposed. The heroes are rising up, but they are powerless unless they have the millions of liberty-loving Americans behind them, united on first principles, not fighting over quibbling stuff that the media puts in your brain. The only way that's going to happen is if you get people to listen to this show, you inform them about what's going on, you get them plugged into the truth, and you get them active. If you're in Virginia, please go out and vote tomorrow. If you're anywhere else, pay close attention, watch for the media spin, and join us Sunday night, 10 p.m. This is Rex and Trog, signing off.
And the flames of liberty never die.
And it's like the whole debacle over the Affordable Care Act. You know, passed by two houses of Congress, signed by a president, affirmed by the Supreme Court. The people will be able to judge whether they like it or not in the midterm election. It's not for a small group of congressmen to basically say, we didn't like it, so you need to stop it.
Hillary Clinton Friday campaigning for Terry McAuliffe, the Democratic candidate. We have the Republican candidate, gubernatorial candidate Ken Cuccinelli on center seat. General, is this race, in your opinion, a referendum now on health care?
Well, certainly that's a big part of it. I mean, people who are going to come vote in the governor's race on November 5th for Obamacare, to support Terry McAuliffe and the expansion he wants to undertake, and he wanted it bigger when it started. And they're going to come, some people are going to come vote for me just to register a vote against Obamacare. I was the first to fight it, and I am against the Medicaid expansion. I mean, why expand failure? And it's already obvious that it's failing. It is going to be, at least in part, a referendum on Obamacare.
Steve.
You told my Weekly Standard colleague, Mike Warren, that you've been frustrated at the lack of substantive discussion, policy discussion in the race. And you went on to say that you were particularly enthusiastic about your tax reform proposal, your tax proposals that will create jobs. Explain what exactly that'll do and why it's needed.
Sure. We're going to lower personal and business income taxes down to 5 and 4% respectively. 4% would be tied for the lowest in the country. And pay for it by shrinking the growth of our general fund to about population plus inflation. That would have been worth about $400 million of tax relief last year, more than $500 the year before, and also get rid of about one-sixth of our tax credits and exemptions. And that is going to be, and that's going to have to take place over a couple of years. You can't just walk in and do that. But that's worth about 58,000 new jobs, according to outside economists. And I'm the only candidate with a plan that an economist can look at and rate. And while my opponent obviously doesn't like my plan, he hasn't proposed one. You know, he just says the word jobs, and that's nice. I don't doubt that he wants more jobs in Virginia, but he has never laid out a plan for how to do it. And on the other side, what he has done is promise enormous amounts of spending all over Virginia. And my total, if you add it up by a family of four, would be about a $700 tax cut. His total would be about a $1,700 tax increase.
Kirsten.
So you said in a speech last year to the Christian Life Summit that you feel that you're surprised that God hasn't imposed more judgment on the United States for legalized abortion. So I guess my two questions are, what kind of judgment do you think the U.S. deserves for that? And the other is, do you think the U.S. deserves judgment for segregation? Have you ever thought that we should have or still should have God's judgment for that?
I think that all decisions have consequences, including for nations, and that's a pretty ancient concept. And I still believe that. So the nature of it, I have no idea. But certainly we're already suffering from some of these things. We've suffered as a country for segregation. Virginia was one of the worst states.
There's
and we're suffering.
Suffering now and God imposing
we're suffering. Judgment. We're suffering from abortion as well. I mean, we're missing over 50 million Americans who'd otherwise be here just since Roe v. Wade. I think that's a great tragedy.
Charles.
As a result of that, you supported a personhood amendment where a fertilized egg is endowed with citizenship and personhood. The other side has falsely said that that means you're against all contraception.
Right.
But it would imply that you are against any contraception which impedes a implantation, meaning IUDs, for example. Is that true?
Look, what we've said in this race, because that you are right, they have been pounding away on this false theme, and as you also know, the Supreme Court has spoken to this pretty clearly in a couple of cases, some of them older than me, and it isn't something that's available to a state. I believe in protecting life, but I have also never in the state Senate, and nor will I as governor, be taking steps to take away contraception. The only area of contraception that I think is legitimate to legislate in is for parents to have control of their own minor children.
Ken Cuccinelli, we thank you for the time on Senator's seat, and we'll be following the race.
Well, thanks very much. Good to be with you all.
Okay. We should note that we asked Terry McAuliffe to come on. We hope in the days before this race he does.
When it comes to the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, a large percentage of the public is completely misinformed about what the law actually entails. Many of these misconceptions have been intentionally cultivated by political pundits from both the left and the right. And predictably, people have latched onto the distortions which most closely fit into their worldview. Let's remove all the party politics and set the record straight. One of the most prevalent misconceptions about Obamacare is that it's socialized medicine. Some view this as a good thing, others view it as a bad thing, but the debate is irrelevant because it simply isn't true. Socialized medicine, like what they have in France, provides all citizens with healthcare services regardless of their income bracket and pays for it through taxes. That's not what Obamacare does at all. Obamacare is designed to force every single person in the U.S. to acquire health insurance from private companies regardless of where you get it. If your employer doesn't provide it, then you must purchase it on your own. If you don't, you'll be penalized, and that penalty will be collected by the IRS. This is referred to as the individual mandate. According to a recent Gallup poll, 43% of uninsured Americans are completely unaware that the individual mandate and the penalty associated with it exists at all. The IRS, however, will clear that up for people soon enough. Now, most conservatives were outraged by the individual mandate, while most liberals came out in its defense. This is ironic beyond belief. The idea for the individual mandate actually originated from the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank that is now coming out attacking Obamacare. And Obamacare is modeled after the system put in place in Massachusetts by Mitt Romney, also known as RomneyCare. Both sides were hoping you wouldn't notice that little detail. There's also been quite a bit of disinformation surrounding the penalties. The penalty for not buying insurance was set up to increase gradually over a period of 3 years. In 2014, the minimal penalty is $95 or 1% of taxable income, whichever is larger. In 2015, it's $325 or 2% of taxable income. And in 2016, it's $695 or 2.5% of taxable income. The maximum penalty per family is currently capped at no more than 300% of the minimum. So in 2016, that would be $695 times 300%, which is equal to $2,085. Of course, you'd have to be pretty naive to think that these minimum penalties won't be increased over time. Remember, when the income tax was first implemented, most of the population only had to pay 1% of their paychecks to the federal government. The percentage is obviously much higher now. The penalty for not buying insurance starts small and grows each year to reduce backlash. It also gives the law's backers a convenient talking point. After all, $95 is no big deal. But your penalty will only be that low in 2014 and only if you make less than $9,500 a year, which is well below the poverty line in the U.S. That minimum penalty, which goes up to $695 in 2016, may not seem like much to the uber-wealthy congressman who wrote this bill. But for those scraping by month to month, it would be a very painful blow. This, of course, is where the insurance subsidies come in. Many of those in the lower income brackets will qualify for tax breaks to cover part of their insurance costs if they participate. This sounds kind of like socialism, but the big difference is this. In socialism, there is no middleman. With Obamacare, the insurance companies are still getting paid the full amount, and those insurance companies are making a profit. So in reality, this isn't socialism. It's not even capitalism. It's corporatism. And this brings us to the crux of the issue, the permanent middleman. Health insurance was originally intended as a rarely used protection to cover major illnesses or injuries. You would still pay for your normal doctor's visits when you needed them, but if you got hit by a bus and weren't able to work, your insurance would make sure that your hospital bills got covered, kind of like car insurance. Since then, the situation has gradually evolved to the point where insurance is used to cover virtually everything, from routine checkups to pharmaceuticals. People don't want to pay for anything directly. They want the insurance companies to cover it, and the market has adapted to this expectation. It's not hard to see how some would see this as a positive development. After all, who doesn't like free stuff? Just one problem. It's not free. In fact, this trend has led to radically higher insurance premiums and medical costs. Using health insurance to cover routine expenses like checkups and antibiotics is like having gasoline insurance for your car. You still end up paying for the product in question, but you inherently end up paying more because you have a middleman between you and the seller. And that middleman is making a profit. Obamacare takes this already distorted system and codifies it into law, forcing you to pay that middleman and using state intimidation in the form of the IRS to back it up. This provides health insurance companies with a captive customer base that has no way out. Now, supporters will tell you that the individual mandate is necessary to keep insurance prices from rising. After all, the law is called the Affordable Health Care Act. But as it turns out, for most, insurance premiums are dramatically rising as the law rolls out. According to Forbes, initial figures indicate that premiums will rise by 99% for men and 62% for women on average nationwide, with some states seeing increases up to 300%. Of course, if you're in a low-income bracket, these massive increases are somewhat offset by the federal subsidies. But again, the insurance companies still get paid the full amount. So where is that money going to come from? You can say the government's going to pay for it, but the federal government is already $17 trillion in debt, and that debt is growing faster every day. To pin all your hopes on a U.S. government covering the tab, or to assume that somehow you're going to get something for nothing, is just magical thinking. Here's what it comes down to. This law is a manifestation of short-sighted greed. It's a half-baked scheme designed to siphon money out of the middle class and line the pockets of the filthy rich. That captive customer base, with the corporate welfare propping it up, translates into big profits for the insurance companies. According to the New York Times, over the past 12 months, the stock prices of the top five publicly traded health insurance companies have increased by an average of 32%. This while the S&P 500 stock index has risen by just 24%. This shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone. The terms of Obamacare were negotiated behind closed doors between insurance executives and government officials, even though Obama promised that those negotiations would be broadcast over C-SPAN. What did you think would be the result of those closed-door meetings? Did you really think that the insurance companies would be looking out for the interests of the people?
I am proposing today a new national health strategy. The purpose of this program is simply this. I want America to have the finest health care in the world. And I want every American to be able to have that care when he needs it.
Nothing new here, guys. Just good old-fashioned greed and corruption. What, you thought Obama was going to be looking out for your interest? The same Obama who signed the NDAA giving the military the power to detain anyone indefinitely without trial? The same Obama who maintains a secret kill list? Who defends the NSA's domestic spying program? And has massively expanded the drone program? You trust that guy? Come on. Seriously? You can't be that naive. We aren't even scratching the surface of this fiasco. We're not going to go into detail about the disastrous rollout of the healthcare.gov website, or how millions of people are getting their policies canceled because of Obamacare, more in fact than we're actually able to sign up in the exchanges. And we're not going to try to estimate how much higher prices will rise in the years ahead. But rest assured, this train wreck is just getting started. When people come to terms with something like this, they tend to ask the same thing. What can we do? Do you really want to know? Disobey. That's the only nonviolent solution. Politicians aren't going to help you guys. I know you'd prefer an answer that puts the responsibility onto someone else. But that wouldn't be honest. Until people fully come to terms with the fact that this so-called government is run by criminals and that we have no moral obligation to obey criminals, then nothing's going to improve. It's as simple as that. For more videos like this, subscribe to Storm Clouds Gathering on YouTube. For updates, bonus content, and to influence future videos, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/stormcloudsgathering. Our Twitter handle is collapseupdates, and our website is stormcloudsgathering.com.
I know how you must feel about the alliance.
You really don't.